lesson and study another one today and follow with lessons on grace tonight and next Sunday, at least some of those lessons. The more I thought about the fact that today is designated on our calendar as Father's Day, and thought back over the events of the past 2 weeks in which our work has been so involved with young people, I decided for us to think this morning a little bit about some principles that have to do with fathers and with families. I think all of our minds are geared more for that today because I'm sure that most of us have been talking about this being Father's Day. We're just singing about God's family, and there is a sense in which we can learn from the family of God, and especially from God as our Father. Some of the very qualities and principles that are used by our Father in heaven are the qualities and principles that we need to use as fathers and as parents here. We're going to be looking at Psalms 127 this morning, a short psalm of 5 verses. If you have a Bible, I would encourage you to turn to Psalm 127. Although we do not want to make too much out of days and designation of days, I've never thought it wrong for us to pause at certain times during the year and think about our parents. We had a day back in last month that was designated on our calendar as Mother's Day. On that occasion, we went back to Proverbs and talked about the wife and the mother of that chapter there as we discussed the virtuous woman. Last year, just before Father's Day, someone suggested to me that we needed to talk about fathers. This person said, you know, almost every year we have a lesson on Mother's Day about what mothers ought to be, and we seldom have a lesson on Father's Day about what fathers ought to be. And I did not have much argument on that because when I went back and looked at my record, sure enough, I had talked about mothers and parents almost every year on Mother's Day, and somehow or other never did get around to it on Father's Day. And I believe we need to talk about being fathers. We need to appreciate our fathers. I talked to mine on the phone last night. I appreciate what Dad, along with Mother, has meant to me, continues to mean to me. I appreciate the opportunity to be a father and the expressions that are made from our children, and I'm sure that there are many families today who have some of their children in the audience visiting this morning, or maybe you're visiting with your children here together as a family, and it's appropriate that we think about what it means to be a father and how we can be better fathers. Read with me these 5 verses of Psalms 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of thy youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I'm sure that you've read that passage before. I think we've even referred to it in other lessons. But as I thought about what we might use today to at least give us a set of guidelines for thinking about being fathers and some of the lessons that we need to learn, I thought of this passage. I just want us to analyze it this morning for a few minutes. I believe the first 2 verses are suggesting to us that it's easy for us to get too busy and too involved in things in this life that don't matter and overlook the things that do matter. Perhaps this psalm was written at a time that they were either building or considering building the temple, which was certainly the house of God. And it may very well have its primary meaning in reference to that house of worship that was called the house of God. They had been in captivity, or would be in captivity, would come back later and build a temple later that would be of the same nature, the nature of the house of God. And even at this time, during the life of David and then Solomon, who would build that temple, there was emphasis being placed upon showing respect and adoration to the Father in heaven and having a house that was built in the right way. But I also believe that because of what is mentioned in verse 3, 4, and 5 relative to children and relative to a father, that there is at least a secondary meaning in these first two verses, a meaning that has to do with the building of a physical house. It might even be applied to an individual in the building of his body or the taking care of his body, because the body is called the temple of God. I want us to think about it this morning more in the sense of a family. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watcheth but in vain. Of what value is it to us if we have a family and build that family, but build it without the Lord's help? Build it without using the principles that are taught in God's Word. How many fathers, particularly, do you know today who are so concerned about material things, having the wherewithal to support their sons and daughters in college, and maybe to help them in other ways in life, who are so busy and so concerned and so involved in all those things, in building a family and in being concerned about their family, but who have left out that which is the most important? They're too busy for the Lord. And they're building the house, they're building the family without God. Perhaps we would not have as many of that type in this community as in some other communities, but just think about community-wide and worldwide today, how many families there are where the father particularly is accepting a kind of responsibility, and he is concerned about his family. He's concerned about their material welfare and maybe even their social welfare. And he's concerned about there being a good education. He's concerned about their health and there being plenty of food and raiment and clothing to wear and a house in which to live, but never thinks about the spiritual side of matters. There may be even fathers today who would fit that watchman that's described there in the latter part of verse 1, who literally lie awake at night thinking about what needs to be done for the family, and who are so dedicated to the principles of building that family and caring for it, except they don't think in spiritual terms and don't include the Lord and his teaching. And is not the psalmist here saying, what is it worth to build a house? What is it worth to build a city if we build it without the Lord's help? In the second verse, he goes on to describe the sacrifice and the dedication that a man might have in building such a house. He mentions that it's one who would rise up early and sit up late. How many of our fathers and mothers know what that means? To get up before day, as we sometimes talk about it, while the children are still asleep. And at night, after they've gone to bed, still up working and planning and doing things for their welfare. He says this is involved in the building of the house. And then he says to even eat the bread of sorrows, and that probably means to use that which one has laid aside for a rainy day, to even use the bread today that you might be saving for a rainy day. And then he says that God gives his beloved sleep, and draws a contrast between those who would sacrifice in all of these ways, maybe even doing without sleep for the benefit of their family, but without God's help, and then those on the other side who take God into consideration and bring him in to the setting and the rearing of their families. Fathers particularly, but parents in general, are we allowing ourselves to be so busy thinking about material things and intellectual matters and physical well-being that we overlook that which is the most important? Is it possible that we as fathers are allowing ourselves to become so tied to the job, so involved in community affairs, that we don't have time to spend with our own boys and girls? Time that some call quality time, to where we're with them and emphasize that which is of utmost importance. A lot of surveys have been taken in the last several years about the amount of time that a father spends with a child. Now, I've seen different surveys taken and the results being a bit different. And yet all are alike in that they come to the conclusion that most fathers spend literally just a few seconds, or at the most just a few minutes, out of a 24-hour day with that son or daughter in a time that there's nothing else involved except just spending time with that son or daughter to talk to him, to work with him, to do something just with him or with her. Most of us would deny that that's true until we sit down and start taking inventory and analyzing the situation. What is it worth, fathers, if we work our fingers to the bare bones and help our children to get a good education and to have healthy bodies, and to have many friends and to accomplish something in the community if they're not Christians, if they don't love the Lord and don't know about His Word and don't know the importance of His teaching and have incorporated that into his life? Except the Lord build the house, what's it worth? Except the Lord keep the city, is there any value to it? Is it worth getting up early and sitting up late and spending everything that we have and being willing even to go in debt to support our own boys and girls if we leave God out of the picture? I think that's really what he's saying to us as parents, and particularly to us as fathers. We need to get our priorities straight. There's nothing wrong with these many things that we've mentioned this morning. In fact, I personally believe that as fathers, we have an obligation to help our sons and daughters get a good education and have healthy bodies and live in such a way that they can have friends and accomplish something in the community. I believe that's a part of it. But it's a part of it with the whole, with God put in the picture also. And if we leave Him out of it, we're going to build houses that are going to lean in some direction and fall when the winds blow and the rains come and the floods rise. And I would particularly address those fathers and mothers who are so busy that they don't have time to bring their boys and girls to Bible study and worship every time that there's an opportunity to worship God and to study His Word. I am rather frank and plain in this, but I believe this passage applies so much to those of you who are trying to build your family and are dedicated in so many ways, but are putting other things first and allowing yourselves to draw back and to fail to be involved in the spiritual matters and to teach your sons and daughters and to pray with them and to be sure that they're involved in Bible study and in worship to God. What's it worth if we don't have that? Verse 3 emphasizes just how important this is, how important each child is. He says, lo or behold. That little word lo is used in a sense to draw attention or to catch attention and say, really look at what I'm about to say. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. I like to use this passage when I'm talking about the big problem of abortion that we have in the world today, but that's not really what we're addressing this morning. I believe many of us who would never even entertain the thought of causing a life that has been conceived to cease by force may, without any thought, be failing to appreciate how important a son or a daughter is. There isn't anything in this world that is given to us as fathers or to mothers that's more valuable and more important than a son or a daughter. A house can burn, and that's tragic in some ways, but it can be built back. An automobile may be wrecked or quit running, and there are problems associated with that, but there are many other cars and automobiles on the lots that we can purchase. We may have problems with our clothing. We may have problems even with health. And even in those areas of problems, there are doctors that can help us and we can overcome. Most of these areas of things in this life, we can get another. But there is not another son like yours or daughters like yours. One gospel preacher in commenting on this said that my wife and children are all that I have that I can take to heaven with me. I don't have anything else on this earth that I can take with me to heaven, but I can take my wife and I can take my children. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. I submit to you this morning at the same time that we give and receive appreciation in the area of this being Father's Day, that we even more than that stop and think about what it means to be a father. There's more to being a father than just physically siring a child. Children are an heritage of the Lord. The next verse begins to explain this even a little bit more so. Notice the image. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. We might remind ourselves of Ephesians 6:4. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Certainly both parents are involved in this, but notice it was particularly to the fathers that this was addressed. And then Colossians 3:21 tells us in this process of discipline and nurture and encouragement that there's to be balance. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, lest they are to anger, lest they be discouraged. Great responsibility upon the shoulders of those of us that are parents and those of us that are fathers particularly. And here he, I think, gives us an image that we can understand. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. Just picture for a moment an archer who has a bow and has just put an arrow in that bow. He's a mighty man. He's big enough to pull that back and shoot that arrow toward the target. Now that's what he's saying about being a father, being a parent. That God has given us as parents an arrow to put into that bow and to shoot out into life. A little bit of reasoning would suggest that one who's going to be able to hit the target with that arrow has got to point it in the right direction and release it with the right speed. And doesn't that somewhat say something to us as parents? In those first few formative years particularly, we are loading the bow, we're loading the bow with the arrow. And we as parents are in a sense pulling that back with the training that we're doing, and we're pointing that child in some direction and with some speed. And whether or not that child hits the target of being a successful Christian person is dependent largely upon how that father, with the help of the mother, pulls back that bowstring and sends that child out into the world. What a responsibility we have to point our arrows, our sons and daughters, toward the right target and with the right speed and send them off in the right direction. That's our responsibility as fathers and as parents. And then after talking about how important it is to aim and how important it is to consider our responsibility as an arrow is in the hand of a mighty man, notice then in verse 5, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of arrows, is the image. Still has an arrow. He needs another one. He can reach back and get it. He has that to help him and to bring about happiness. But the image is, happy is the man who hath his quiver full of children. A lot of ideas have been expressed as to what is specifically meant. Some think this means that happiness is there when there is the ability to have children, that there's no barrenness. And others have suggested when it talks about this quiver being full that it's not talking about a certain number, but talking about the amount that one can use, can successfully use, and can successfully send out in the right direction. And I like that thought. I believe that each father and each set of parents ought to have the number of children that he can train and care for and love and send out in the right direction. Then he goes ahead and shows why some of this happiness is there. Notice he says, when he has his quiver full of them, he'll not be ashamed, but he shall speak with the enemies in the gate. That may in a technical sense be saying that the father who has several children will be able to defend himself better. And there was a time when that was very important, perhaps during the time that this was written. The father who had several children, particularly sons, who could stand with him even on the battlefield, would be better able to fight against the enemy. And some of you that are here today who are a bit older than I can remember particularly when families lived on the farm, that in order to be able to take care of that farm and to have the labor that was needed, it was important for there to be several children in the family. To help to take care and to help to provide and to help to the parents to do what needed to be done, to stand with them. I think this is the idea that he's presenting, that there is so much happiness when a father and a mother can have that son or daughter or sons and daughters that are there to stand with them, to be their witnesses even in the court, to be there to stand with them even when the enemy arises. How many times have we experienced this very thing in our lives? When there's illness in the family, when there's death that comes in the family, how much easier it is when there are those sons and daughters to stand with us. And as we reach those older years and get to the point that we cannot do some of the things for ourselves that we would like to do, we have those who once received when they could not do for themselves to help take care of us when we cannot do for ourselves. Just a workable plan that's involved in that family situation. And he says, happy is the man who is a father. Happy is the man who hath his quiver full of them, who hath children that'll be there to stand with him. Oh, I know there are times when we're rearing our children that we ask the question, is it worth it? I'm sure there's not a parent here who hasn't asked that question. But those who have been privileged to live a little longer and to see all that's involved in the family situation know that it's worth it and begin to realize the importance of the family and the importance of being a father. I'm thankful to God that I've been privileged to be a father and am privileged to be a father. I'm thankful to God that I was privileged to have the father that I have. And I believe that all of us need to really stop and think about that, and especially think about the gist of this little five-verse psalm. And here, I think, is the gist of it. That in the rearing of our families, in being fathers and also being mothers, let's take the Lord with us. Unless the Lord builds the house, unless it's built from his standpoint, nothing else matters at all. But when we put him in the picture and with his help build the kind of families that he wants, we'll find happiness in our relationships here. And we'll be able to help each other prepare for that great relationship when we all go home to be with our Father in heaven. And that's really what it's all about. That's really why we meet together every Sunday. That's really why we study together, whatever the lesson is. That's why we pray. That's why we sing. That's why we remember the Lord's death. That's why we extend the Lord's invitation. Because the only thing you see that really matters is to be able to go home to be with that Father when this life is over. I'm persuaded that there are some in the audience this morning who are not children in that family who need to become children of God. You need to come and confess your faith in him and your desire to be a part of his family. To be baptized, to be born again, born into the family of God. Perhaps there are some here this morning who are part of that family who've not brought honor to the Father's name, who need to make things right in their life. Again, I would say to you, the most important thing of all is to be able to go home someday to be with that Father in heaven. If you're not a child of His who's ready to do that, you need to rush to Him as together we stand and sing.
Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss?